Welcome everybody to our Divrei Hesoros pre Yom Noraim, sponsored by Chesed Avram Zev. Many of the Talmidim here at the yeshiva obviously hear the name Dr. Abe Shames, but it's been over a decade that Dr. Shames passed away, and the Shames family has always viewed the Yemei Hadin, the Yom Noraim, as a time to be misorer, more chizuk haTorah. And as I go into introducing tonight's Chashuva presenter and speaker, I would like to say a couple of words about Dr. Shames. The Chazon Ish said about his wife, who had many detractors because she often would not let people in to see her husband, and he defended her. He said, I presume in her older years she was blind, she couldn't see. And the Chazon Ish said, she doesn't see their faces. I too would say no, but I see the look on their faces and I can't resist, I have to say yes. And if she would see their faces, she would say yes too. Anyone who knew Dr. Shames, he didn't stop doing chesed. He was a chesed addict. We are considered blind. If we would see what he saw in people, we would do the same chesed for the people. But he was able to see into their hearts, and memela he couldn't stop. The pasuk says, famous pasuk, last week's parsha, V'lo nosan Hashem lochem lev ladas v'naim liros v'naim lishmo ad yom hazeh. Many different Rishonim comment on this pasuk. I think we had our own shmuzim on this pasuk. The Sephorno says that what Klal Yisrael couldn't attain through all the nisim v'niflos, through all the miracles, was just the chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam. If they would just focus in on the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them, that would bring them more chizik and more dveikus b'Hashem than all the nisim v'niflos. Abe Shames inspired more with his chesed than what could have been accomplished with open miracles. I want to give you a couple of quick examples. We're going to introducing our speaker. He called us up once, the Rosh Yeshiva, important matter to discuss. Rosh Yeshiva is, let's do lunch. I'll order lunch. So he ordered lunch. 1 o'clock came, or 1:15 came. I called him up, says, you start. I'll be there soon, you start. He came a half hour later. I said, oh, you're late? He said, not late, don't you want lunch? No, I ate lunch already. He wanted to do lunch. He didn't mean for him to include in the lunch. He used to give out Disney tickets. Any of the Rebbeim that were here, he used to give out Disney tickets and Disney dollars. I don't even know if they still do Disney dollars. I still have in my drawer some Disney dollars left. His family said after his tira, they found thousands and thousands of Disney tickets, Disney dollars. We have no idea what he was doing, but he's just giving them out to people that needed it. He called up the UPS guy. He said, I need a delivery, but I need you to not gonna be ready till the end of the day. What's the latest appointment you can give me to pick up UPS? So he said, latest at 5 o'clock, 10 to 5 is the latest. Okay, 10 to five. The guy came at 10 to five, where's the package? He says, come inside, bring you the package. And then the whole business, everyone said, surprise, they made a surprise party for the UPS guy. And he said that this guy was down and he knew it was his birthday that day. He made a birthday party. They said by the Shiva house, Amelia, I think was their housekeeper, said when she told the mailman about what happened, that he was nifter, the mailman started crying. Said he started crying. Hey, says that was nothing. You should have seen the garbage man. How many people even know who their mailman is, the garbage man? He had this, I've said over before. He created a Judaic reference room at the middle school. He couldn't handle the shelves. He took care of everything, but he couldn't handle if the shelves weren't full. But he also couldn't handle not having extra shelves to grow into. So it was like he was constantly buying svarim, buying shelves, filling the shelves, buying shelves, buying svarim. We were talking yesterday at a Rebbe meeting. There was a bang on these double doors once in the dining room on a Sunday afternoon. Bang, bang, bang. Dr. Shames, yeah, hold the door open. I got something. Said, you need something? Can I help you? No, I got it. He reaches into his Suburban and he's a couch on his back. So the couch that's in the teacher's lounge, that couch where everybody wants to know what's the couch doing in a copy room, because he needed a place to put that couch. He saw it was on sale and he said, the teachers have to have a comfortable place to sit. He put that couch in the room that the teachers use. So he was the chesed machine, and he was very proud of what he could do for the yeshiva. He felt that responsibility for everyone, for all mankind, but especially Yidden, and especially the yeshiva. He didn't stop for the yeshiva, and for someone to have that kind of kayach that still is felt, there are people who come to me and say, what would Abe Shames do? So that creates a tremendous amount of hashpa that keeps the chesed going, and his name, his neshama, should continue having aliyah, and especially before the Me'adin. We have the distinct pleasure tonight to call upon the Rav of the Chafetz Chaim Torah Center. Rabbi Ginsburg is a national speaker, writer. He didn't want to hear any of this, but I'm going to say it anyway. He was so close with the Rosh Hashiva. His father, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, was the Rashiva's right-hand man. The Rashiva, who did he lean on? He was his right-hand man. They spoke all the time. There was nothing between them. And after Rabbi Ginsburg's Patira, Rabbi Chaim Aryeh Zev has continued that feeling for the yeshiva. He is so close with the Rashi yeshiva, and he always thinks about the yeshiva. He has his own shimush with many other gadolim. I can't say all of them. I happen to know from the stories that he's told that his close shaykhs, Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Scheinberg, I heard a few maises of Rav Shach. I took the 12th grade a couple of years ago to New York, and we used all our connections to try and get into the Square Rebbe, to get a bracha from the Square Rebbe. It's not easy to get into the Square Rebbe. So we go in there. It was really eerie, 11 o'clock at night. It was late at night. And they're treating us like kings. And they take us, we want to give you a Kabbalist punim first. So we take it to an ante room, and they set up with a shtickle tish. And I'm wondering, like, who did we call that's treating us with such malucha, literally malucha. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Ginsburg walks in, and he speaks to us, and he himself takes us to the Square Rebbe. He seats us down literally at his tish, right next to him, all of us, and spoke to the Talmidim, Yeshiva, and other people were allowed to listen. We had the front seats. That's his close shaychus. Obviously, someone who has such close shaychus to these eminent gedolim, it speaks volumes about the Avodas HaKodesh that he's involved with. It's Kul L'Shem Shemayim. He's a spokesperson for Klal Yisrael. There are very few people that have his eloquence, his prolific writing, his ability to communicate, and his own personal misyonos that he has led Klal Yisrael through the way he's dealt with his personal misyonos has been the ultimate chizuk for not just his chaverim and the talmidim of his chaverim, but all of Klal Yisrael. Without any further ado, Reb Chaim Aryeh Zev Ginsberg.
Thank you, Reb Palagon, for the beautiful introduction. Chazal say that talmidei chachamim medabrim beguzma. That talmidei chachamim speaks with exaggeration. Such a huge talmid chacham speaks with such huge exaggeration. Thank you for that introduction. Just want to preface it, and I apologize for my voice. I had planned with the Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Neiman, just Rabbi Neiman, just Elena Hala, Bnei Taira, guests that are here, Ol Chaverim, Rabbi Neiman asked me to come, and it's, you know, a week before Yom Tov. It's not an easy week, but I'm a sovereign legado, and we had planned the trip, and then yesterday morning I woke up with complete laryngitis. Could not say one letter, could not get one word out. And Renam and I became best friends in texting. I texted him and I don't see no way I could come, I can't speak. We'll see what happens, and all day drinking, doing whatever I had to do to try to get my voice back. It's not back fully. But I really felt that this wasn't about cold, about overstraining my voice. This was the Satan being Makatri. The Satan being Makatri. So don't know that it was a while ago that I was sick with COVID. If you don't know the story, I'm not going to go through it, but just to put it in perspective, March 26, 2020, my wife came to the hospital to say goodbye to me. Doctor told her that I have a few hours left. And 1 month later, April 26th, is when I came home. So, Sokol the tremendous Nisan. And when I was able, the first time to go to Eretz Yisrael, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Pamalya Shel Melech. So I went to the Gadol Hador, someone who Klal Yisrael every single day, since the Petira of Maran Sarah Torah, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, is going to the Kodesh of Racha. We miss him. I am not of the stature, I'm too small to be able to explain how great he was in learning, how many Sfarim he wrote, and he's 72 is the final count. But one thing that he did do, despite all his learning and making a siyum on Kol Torah Kula every year, that's not what should impress everybody. What should impress everybody is that he saw more Yidden in his little room than any Gadol from the times of the Reish Galusa. No Gadol, no Chassidish Rebbe ever had his home so accessible to Jews all over the world to be able to go to him, to ask him, to get a bracha, just to look at him. So I went to him and I said, I'm struggling, I want the Rav to tell me, like, Abish just saved me for what? What's my tafkid in life now? But what did he save me for? And so many others weren't saved. So he told me two things. One was a seder, a limud, to learn a certain thing, not for now. And the other thing was, go give chizit to Klal Yisrael. That's why the Katnit Sarta. That's why you're here. Go give chizuk. So when I have an opportunity to come and speak to Bnei Taira, being in nice sunny Florida doesn't hurt. You go. But the Sutta knows it's Erev Yom Adin, and maybe some of my words will resonate and we offer Divri Chizuk to Bnei Yeshiva. So the Sutton got in the way, took my voice away. But after Bikin, I'm here. Poskim Makavad Aksanya. You know, I read a little quip, a little story many, many years ago. But in any forum that I spoke, I could never use it. I couldn't, the good at dinner, a good at convention, at the lake with dinner, at the mirror, it doesn't fit. But I come here, and the Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Palagon just mamish opened the door for me. Because you spoke about Disney World. Disney World. It's Florida, after all. So I once saw a clip at the grand opening of Disney World. A former vice president came. Vice president of the country came. And he went over to the nephew of Walt Disney, who was hosting the festivities. And he said to him, well, what a pity. The Walt was not here to see what had been developed from his vision. It's too bad. He passed away a number of years before it opened. The nephew turned to him and said, you're mistaken, Walt had seen it. And that's why we're here today. Had a vision to build Disney World. And for that reason, that's why we're here today. Because the vision, he saw it. He saw it as if he'd be here. L'havdil elef alfei havdalos. Mori v'Rebbe, the Reshiva, Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim, by his carry yesterday, Panik Leibowitz, from the Tzadva Kadosh Levracha, had a vision. And I remember that my good chaver, one of the founders of the first person that moved to Miami, Rabbi Tzion Sheit, came here first for a year, exploring, trying before they opened, before they were trying to figure out if they can open. So Rabbi Shiva asked me to come for a few days. Just to get a little temperature read of what's going on in the streets, whether there's really interest, whether there's something you wanted, I should give my opinion. I came back, spoke to a few people, went around a little bit, and I came back. I said, Rebbe, the temperature was 86 degrees. It was a machaya. But for what you wanted me to, I have no idea. But I know Rabbi Tzion is full steam, ready to go. And then I pull up at this, I've been there before, but pull up now and heard some of the plans for the big Baruch Hashem in the Beis Medrash, plans for the building. For a moment, someone would say, oh, it's a pity that Shiva wasn't here to see it. Shiva saw it. Shiva had the vision, and he saw it. They didn't have to see the bricks, but the vision of a room full of Bnei Torah, sitting and learning in such an incredible way is a tremendous thing. My dear friends, we're living in very, very difficult times. The world is exploding. There is not a corner of the world that if it's not at war, it talks of war. Tens and tens of thousands of Yidden have lost their homes in the last 10 months. Tens of thousands. And we see all this, and what do? The Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Tainis that when a tzara comes to Bnei Yisrael, comes upon Bnei Yisrael, comes upon the world because of Bnei Yisrael, if a person ignores it, doesn't pay attention, that's considered midas akzorius. Akzorius. What does it mean to be an akzor? Of Shlomo Volba, the great Baal Musar, he writes that the word akzor means the word zor, means turning away. When you turn away rather than turning to, that's akzorius. You see things and you don't pay attention, and you see things and it doesn't move you, and you don't take it to heart that there's something going on in the world that is for me, Kol Bishvil Yisrael, then it's a midas achzorius. But that is the teva, the nature of people. In Kelm, they used to use a Yiddish word, a kelbin hisbaitis. I don't know what kelbin is. You know Yiddish here? Kelbin is by this. A kelb is a cow. And they used to give a mashal. You're driving down a country road and your cow's grazing on the side, minding their own business. And an 18-wheel truck is zooming by and you know, the tire goes, and boom. And the cows pick up their head, startled. They put their heads back down, and they go back to eat. That's a Kelvin Hispinus. Kelvin used to say, we live a Kelvin Hispinus. We lift our heads up, something happened. Achmon son, a terrorist, a Yid lost their lives. Today, another Bas Yisrael, Moshe Nafshal Kiddush Hashem, an 84-year-old woman in Eretz Yisrael, killed by descendants of Yishmael, a Pera Adam, which will happen until the Sov Yamav, it's not the time now, of Chaim Vital, said he heard from that Rizal, one of the last things that he heard from his Rebbe, that today's Amalek is Yishmael. Yishmael morphed into Amalek. We know that the world will have no peace until Amalek is removed. We're going to meet with them in peace treaties and Abraham Accords. We could do all of it. There will never be peace until Amalek is removed. And Yishmael said the Arizal is Amalek today. So what do? We live in incredible times where the normal things that are supposed to happen don't happen. When people do good things, they're supposed to be rewarded. A person lives a life of chesed. Yizeche tarichas yam. Do a good life. A person gives staka. Aser ta'asa. But forget about years in the last year. I'm talking about since last Rosh Hashanah. There were so many Ashirim that supported dozens of yeshivas that today can't put food on their table. There are young people who were the Askanim of Klal Yisrael. One was just Nifter Lavaya last Friday of Yanki Mai from his Askim, a Yid Anistar, who was the Gadol Hadorin Chesed at the age of 59 years old. That's it. Where is that? What happened to the Avtachas that Chazal tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us? So Be'etzim it's a Gemara. The Gemara tells us Sechas Menachos that in times of Be'idon the Rizcha, when the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim is strong, Chamas HaMelech Lo Shachacho, all bets are off. There are no rules anymore. There are no rules. Everything has changed. Everything is up for grabs. And we see things that maybe we never saw before. Because B'idin Rizqa, when the Eibishter's anger is burning, and how do we know it is? Because we see what's going on in the world. Anything that happens in the world, B'shvil Yisrael, Hashbrokah's anger is burning. So what do? We're living in times of Mashiach Zeitim. Someone just said to me, he said something over at the Kibbutz Chaim alumni weekend, let's share it here. This was a Maisa of Purim was 2 years. So it's 2.5 years. Right before Purim. It was a tragic accident, a terrible tragedy in Eretz Yisrael. There was a woman, I think she was 42 years old, if I remember correctly, a menaheles, a principal of a school, a mother of a number of children, small children. Husband is a Rosh Kailo. And her Seder Hayom was every morning she left, husband came back from shul, he took care of the kids, sent them off to school, and she ran to go to the school where she taught, girls' high school, in a neighboring community, and she would open the door and she'd be there to greet the girls. And she never failed to do so. This particular day, students started arriving and she wasn't there. No one could get in. They called up her husband. What happened? They called her phone, didn't answer. So she left the same time she does every day. He tried calling her. Couldn't reach her. Quickly called security. They called the soldiers, the army. Just to assure. Call the army. And they did a search. And at first they quickly went from this way to that way and back and forth. And nothing, couldn't find anything. Finally someone noticed little tracks on the side of the road and they went And the car was in the bottom of the ditch, of the ravine. They went down there, Rahman Slan. Layelenu, she was gone. And then they determined that an Arab, Yimach Shemo, or Arabs, stood on top of a hill where she was driving by and threw a huge boulder on the car. And she saw it coming the last minute. She tried to turn the wheel that she should avoid hitting her. And she went off the road and down. And the rock hit her. The Katusha of a tire. So the family was never, of course, broken and sitting Shiva. But the story is because the woman who was a terrorist was a cousin of Rebbetzin Batsheva Kanievsky, Alei HaShalom, great tzaddikus. And they would come visit her once a year. They would come. She had a kesher with her. And Rebbetzin is no longer here. Reb Chaim heard what happened. He sent his son to go Menachem Avil in his name and give a message. The message that he gave, the name of his father, was, have a little nechama, because Mashiach is around the corner, and soon will be Tchias HaMesim, and your mother will be back. And when he came and told him, it gave him tremendous amount of nechama, tremendous amount of nechama. At the end of Shiva, the day they get up from Shiva, the children said to the father, they want to hear it directly from Chaim. They don't want to hear Shliach. Mitzvah Yosef Mishlucha. They want to hear it from Chaim. Okay. We'll give you a nechama. We'll go to Reb Chaim. He got in the car. They went to Bnei Brak. Explain why they want to come in. Come in. And the daughter, who was 12 years old, said to Reb Chaim, we want to know, hear from the Rav. Mashiach's around the corner. Chaim looked there and says, lo? Lo? Looks at the back. We want to hear from the Rav that Mashiach is around the corner. Lo? Looked at his son who was there. What did you do? What did you? So he said to his father, hey, the Gatata, didn't you tell me to tell them Mashiach is around the corner? He said, lo. Hu kvar al harachov. The words. He's already on the block. Mashiach. He's already amongst us. Not around the corner, he's amongst us. What does it mean that Mashiach is amongst us? What does that make a difference in our lives? First of all, to understand, we're living in the time of Ikut Mashiach. There are incredible challenges that take place in Ikut Mashiach. Chazal tell us about the life after the time of Ikut Mashiach before Mashiach comes. It'll be an incredibly painful time. Chazal tell us that there'll be tremendous amount, the kochos ha-tumah, the kochos hara, will unleash its powerful forces unlike in any time in our history before. Because as its days, it's before it goes, before it's going to be destroyed, it wants to grab as much as it can in. And Chazal tell us, Lashon and Chazal, Kol ma she'ira le'yosef ha'tzadik, iru le'banav be'ikvas le'mashiach. Whatever happened to Yosef in his nisyonos, Yosef ha'tzadik, that's going to happen to Klai Yisrael be'ikvas le'mashiach. What does that mean? What does that mean? So the Maral and Rav Chaim Vital said the name is really the same thing. He said the Medrash describes that what did Eishes Potiphar, what did she do for Yosef to try to get Yosef to sin? Saying Chazal, Barzil Yotzil Lipo. She took spears and she stuck spears in his two cheeks because Yosef had shut his eyes tight not to see her ever, her beauty, to try to minimize the Nisayon. So she stuck spears in his cheeks so that he'd be forced to open his eyes to see. Liro servosa. That was an assign of Yosef Atzad. Because in Mashiach, the same thing, says the Maral. The Satan is sticking spears in our cheeks so our eyes are open so we can see everything. But instead of spears, it shows us computers and iPhones and all the things that open up the entire world of Tumah to us. Easier than getting a spear in your cheek. That's the challenges of today. Let's think something even more. Medrash says, Asara Nisyonos Shel Avraham Avinu Keneged Asara Tkufos of Klal Yisrael. The 10 Nisyonos of Avram is Keneged to 10 different Tkufos that Klal Yisrael is going to undergo, going to have to go through till Mashiach comes. The Nisyon Shel Akeda, which is the last one, at least according to the most Yisharim, who Nisyon Shel Ikas of the Mashiach. The Nisayon of the Akedah is the Nisayon of Ikvas of the Mashiach. What does that mean? That we're going to be have to bring our children to the Akedah? It's our Nisayon? That's not what it means. What it means is that the Yisayon of the Akedah Yitzchak was run on Kasher Alahar. They saw the clouds. Avram asked the two people that came with him, Eliezer and Yishmael, what do you see? He said, we see a cloud mountain. We can't see anything. You can't see anything. You stay Shu'u Pol Mechamor. And even now, Nelcha, we'll go. Because they saw Kedesh Yitzchak. They saw the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. You have to look at a mountain full of cloud, a mountain you can't see beyond, and see in it Nitzchias for Klal Yisrael. But that what you're going to do is going to make a difference. And every single thing that you see that you have to go through, that happened in Yakeid, the Klal Yisrael is going through. You know, we all know the story of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Chano Tzadok Levracha, Shanyun Kamdama. We all know about his drasha that he gave right before he was killed to his Talmidim. There were two survivors from that. Related the story over word for word. Word for word. The last person who saw him alive was Rebbetzin Volber, which was Justin Terrace. And a few years ago, I asked her to describe Rav Chanan in the moments that you, before you, last time you saw him. And she was in the room, and they came and they asked, Rav Chanan was there with her father and a number of Talmidim. They came in and they look at Rav Chanan. They grabbed him and says, where are your papers? Where's your paper? Where are your papers? Identification papers. So he turned to her and he said, it's upstairs, under the chair. Go look over there. It's where it is. Someplace over there. He knew that it wasn't there. He did not want to spare the child from having to watch him and her father being taken out. She ran up, she looked, couldn't find anything, came running down, and she saw Rav Chanan being escorted outside. I said, tell me, what did you see? I saw like he was going to shul in the morning. Like he was going to Yishev Adas, Nachas Ruach. How is that possible? How is it possible? A person has to go, Kiddush Hashem, the ultimate level, Chol Nafshecha, Rabbi Kiva, all his whole life you want to achieve. What it means. So, how did you do it? Because the Medrash, that there was one piece of information on Akedah that's important to know. Avram took the knife in his hand and ready to shech Yitzchak. The knife was about to come down, and he was, obviously you can imagine what I'm going through Avram's mind. Waited for this, for the sun all the years, and I'm doing this. You can imagine it was a Bahala. Yitzchak says, Tati, stop, stop. You weren't boydek the sakin. You weren't checking, didn't check the knife. We know a person shucks a carbon without checking the knife, and the knife later is pug and the carbon is no good. Tata, Zisa Tata, he didn't check the sakin. Avram stopped the bedika sasakin. And with that extra moment, he regained his composure, says the man. And he went with Yishev Adas, ready for the Akedah. That's where Rav Chanan, thousands of years later, was able to go to the Akedah with Yishev Adas. Because it all comes from there. Ikus of the Mashiach, living in the Mashiach, brings so many challenges with it. What's the greatest challenge? The greatest challenge is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the world upside down. COVID, the whole world was a mapecha. And since then, every one thing after the other, things that people took for granted, people that had panasa for generations, for decades, overnight lose their panasa. It's, what is it, Ikus of the Mashiach about? The Rogatch of Agon writes that, understand Ikus of the Mashiach, we know Ikus means the heel, the, right before Mashiach comes, the heel, the bottom, the end. Says the Rogatch of it, based on the Gemara, Ein Basa Meis Maragabi Isma. There's a part of the body. There's a person, Rahman Slan, comes ill and loses feeling and is the limb, becomes disconnected, and you take a knife to it, you don't feel it. Ain Basa Me, you don't feel it. The one part of a body where if you would stick with a little needle or with scissors, you won't feel it, is the bottom of the foot. Bottom of the foot is hard. The heel is the hardest part. And it's made to withstand. That's why it's on the bottom. And it's, says the Rogatchev, Ikvasa means that Ein Basa Meis Maragabi Isma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to stab the world and Klal Yisrael. And whatever happens to Klal Yisrael in the world is for Klal Yisrael, is because of Klal Yisrael, and for Klal Yisrael. And we won't be Maragish. Ikvasa the Mashiach, we won't be Maragish. We don't feel the pain. And the answer is we feel it, but it has no relevance to us. It has no relevance to us. I want to share with you an insight of a conversation, a quick thought made by today's God Ladar, Paisek Adar in Klal Yisrael, Ba'al Mo'adim Uzmanim, Amrisha Shturma, Sharif Ushlema. Share with you a thought. Answer the question that I had for years and never saw an answer for. This happened, unfortunately, after the tragedy of Meron. And all of Klal Yisrael was stunned. Stunned. Just beyond belief, such a day, such a place, so many Karbanos, children. It was just beyond comprehension. But one particular individual, a Rebbe in Me'esharim, told us Aaron Rebbe was broken in half. He's a man who travels the world for decades, giving chizuk to Yidden all over. But this time, it broke him. And the reason is, of course, first of all, it happened right after his hadlaka. Everyone stayed for the last hadlaka, which is his hadlaka. Thousands of people came, and that's why the rush come out afterwards was to get home late, because it was late, it was the last one. It happened on his watch, so to speak. Three of them, of the Kabbanos, were his chassidim, and one was his nephew. Great nephew. He took it personal, in a sense almost that he was goyim it. He locked himself in his room for 3 days, 3 nights, wouldn't come out. No one could get him out. And finally the door opened and he came out. He turned to his gabbai and he said, I have to go to Reb Moshe. Saw that he couldn't build himself up on his own. He couldn't come out of the shell, the broken shell. He needed to speak to the God Ladar. Got into a car and he went to Moshe Shtermach. Moshe Shtermach was first giving him stories of Chazal and things that happened that he saw. And after a while, he started breaking a little bit into that wall, a wall of grief. And then he ended the conversation with the following. He said, Be'atzim, I had a kasha. And I really asked, I had the same kasha so many times, so many years. The Gemara says, both about an Amora and a Tana, that each of them davened to Hashem that they won't be around during Chavli Mashiach. They didn't want to be around, didn't want to be in the world during Chavli Mashiach. And one of them is Rabbi Yoichan. But Rabbi Yoichan was the Tana that the Gemara describes in two places, who lost 10 of his sons. Matter of fact, he walked around with the bone of his last son and would go to shiva houses and say, I know it's tremendous pain you're going through, but look what I went through, and I'm still here. That's how he was mechazek Menachem Yidden. How could this Rav Yochanan say, I don't want to be around during Chevli Mashiach? What could be worse than this? Is there any Chevli Mashiach Gedolah Mizu? What did he mean by that? Rav Shturmach offered an interpretation. What it means is that Bizman Ikvas of the Mashiach, terrible things will happen. Painful tragedies will happen. Bein b'yachad, bein b'rabin. And people will see it, and they won't attribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pain itself, that didn't bother him. It bothered him. He was able to deal with his own incredible pain. But the fact that the pain, after going through that pain, no one will attribute it. It's from the Eibishes, the Bar Yoylam, to remind us to do something, to change. That's, I don't want to be around for that. I don't want to have to see that. I don't want to be there. It's so hard to be able to attribute something. Oh, it's my HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pain comes from my HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Elulavi came, in the whole story in Tanakh, when he had the fire against the Nevi Abal, and he put the animals, if I'm right, but mine, if yours is yours, tested them, we all know the story. So we say, which we're going to say in Slichas every day, Aneini Hashem Aneini. He asked the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aneini Hashem Aneini. What's double Lashon Aneini? Answer me. Answer me is one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears you. So Chazal say, Aneini, one Aneini was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please do a miracle for me. Let them see. And the second Aneini, please don't let them attribute it to Kishuv. Don't let it attribute it that it comes because of witchcraft. That's why it happened. First Aneini, that it should happen. And second Aneini, that it shouldn't attribute it to Kishuv. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, the second Aneini is a much, much bigger nace than the first Aneini. Much bigger nace. Because that's the teva of people. You attribute things to the natural things. You know, I heard Chaim tell us over, it's a little bit different. If you look at the Orchos Rabbeinu about the stipler, is written the story a little bit different. This is the way I heard it from Rabbi Chaim. That when the stipler's oldest daughter was looking for a shidduch, and a bacher was recommended, and they told him that the bacher was a great bacher, great in learning, great in Yirah Shemayim, great amasmid and great in Yirah Shemayim. So he came to the Chazon Ish. He said, "Hey, look at Fata, brother-in-law, my brother-in-law. My first time I'm looking for a shidduch. I know how to check if someone's a masmid, if he knows how to learn. That I could do. But how do I find out? How do I do a test if he's a Yirah Shemayim? What's the test? What's the barometer?" Said the Chazon Ish, in our generation, he was talking already by his generation, anyone who believes that everything is destined on Rosh Hashanah and anything happened will happen during a year is because it's on Rosh Hashanah Yikasevun, can be considered Yirah Shemayim in our day. That's the test. That is how to determine. The Chazon Ish lived like this. He was sitting and learning once, and there was a fly by them. Most times, a fly never went near a Chazon Ish. In the hottest Bnei Brak desert climate, no flies ever went and bothered him. One time, a fly was circling his head, and he was trying to swat away, and it wasn't going. So one of his gabbai came over, walked over with a fly swat, and he says, "Leave it alone. It's a Rosh Hashanah fly. It's in the middle of the summer." No. This is a gzeirin from Rosh Hashanah. And how did it come up? Because of Chaim, same Haisit. Chaim got off his bed and fell and broke his arm. About 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago. And when his son rushed into the room, he said, "What happened?" "Rosh Hashanah happened." He didn't say, "What happened?" He meant, "Did you trip? Did you slip on something?" No. What happened was Rosh Hashanah happened. And that is the level we have to understand and appreciate. That we're not made to understand why. We just know that things happen in the world, and our responsibility is to act on it, to do something about it. We live in a country, you guys, younger, most of you, Sepakayim, and Mendel. Most of them is younger. And the we live in this country, everything's perfect. We don't know anything else. We don't know anything else. Some of us still have parents, Shemarkiyam Tov Vashanim, who remember what it was like. What was it like? My mother, she lived and be well, because Yamin remembers that, the age of 6 or 7, woken up in the middle of the night with her nightgown and slept out, run out of the house now. Nothing. She tried to go back in for a doll she had on her bed, and her mother pushed her out. The grandmother broke her heart, and she ran back in and grabbed the thing for her. My mother walked out and started a walk from Vienna to get to the French border, the days, in her nightgown, barefoot. That's what we grew up on. Baruch Hashem, we don't have that. But what do we have? Where is this country going? Half, you guys know what's going on in New York, because half of New Yorkers now live in Florida. The world is incredibly, incredibly not safe in every single way. In New York, we're fighting now. In the yeshivas, for the first time since Klal Yisrael established themselves here after the war, for the first time, there are mandate laws being put forth in New York, potentially to be followed by New Jersey next year, that they will control what is going to be taught in yeshiva, what's not going to be taught. You understand what that is? Just means it's time to pack our bags. Because of Mashiach. We have to know that all this is happening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to teach us something, to understand what we have. The final sign is a sign of HaKadosh. You have to see through the image and see through everything and see that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very hard to do so in the world that we live in when everything's so cloudy. We have to be able to do so. Everything's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to tell you the last time I heard something that was so incredible. The last time I was Zocher B'Rabbi Yoshev, it happened when I walked in, so there was a little gathering, some of his family members were there. I didn't even know what it was. It was the yard side of the Lesha, his grandfather, Feinberg Kubel. And he made a little thing there, and I came and I stayed a little bit to listen. And a guest speaker, guest Rav came, he was very close to Rabbi Yoshev, Rabbi Moshe Halberstam, a great posik in Yerushalayim. Great big Talmud Chacham. And he came in and he said something that he shared with the Lesha. Just, I think it's such an incredible thing. Incredible thing. We all know the story of the Ger Tzedek in Vilna. The Ger Tzedek in Vilna. The Ger Tzedek in Vilna was from one of the most prominent Polish Catholic families who was being groomed to become a priest and was already in a monastery learning how to become a priest. And I became involved, became a Magyar, and they hid him away, and he was caught, and he was burnt, given a choice. They brought his mother in, appealed to him. Go through the time for the whole story now. And on Shavuos, the first day Shavuos, he was taken out town square in Vilna and burnt to death. Said the Vilna Gaon said that if there would be 10 men would have answered Amen to his bracha that he made, bracha de Amikirish Hashem, Mashiach would have come on the spot. The Vilna Gaon left in his Savo one thing that he wanted, the very next thing. 3 years from the time he became from Megayir until he died. Just thought that's just a fact. Moshe Albersheim says, when he was a young man, just by mitzvah age, he lived in Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, the Jews who lived in the old city before 48, old Mukubolim, had nothing to eat. They were starving, dying of starvation. And his mother sent him with a little package of food to sneak in. They weren't allowed to get in. Sneak in. If you didn't live there, you couldn't go. But to sneak in to an aged Mukubol that was there and bring him something to eat so that he could survive. When he came in, he brought it to him, and he was so pleased. And said, I have to tell you something. I don't know how much longer I have in this world, so I'm going to share something with you that I heard But my grandfather was one of Gedolei Mekubalim, whose father was one of the Talmidim of the Mekubalim of Vilna, Talmidim of the Grah. And the Vilna Gaon told him that he has Maseir al Pikabola, that the three, reason why it was 3 years until the Ger Tzedek, for the time he was Gaia until he died, because Avram Avinu, at the age of three, was Makir the Bar Yoylam, and he became Avram Avinu. But for the first 3 years, he didn't. So the Ger Tzedek had to come back to be born a guy, spend 3 years being Makir Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they be Moser Nafsho al Kifshon HaEish, because Avram had 3 years that he didn't, and Avram was spared from Kifshon HaEish, but he had to go through it. So he was a Gilgul of Avram Avinu. At Rav Yosha's reaction, it's like, seemed like he may have heard that, because he didn't jump out of his chair like I did. Incredible. We think he's a cheshbin for everything. He's a cheshbin for everything. Clock is ticking, I have to end. Just an example. We know that everybody knows Yitzias Mitzrayim. We all know the Chazal, Bikshu, Malachi Ashores. They wanted to sing Shira when they saw Kriyas Yamsuf. And we all know the simple Pshar al-Chazal. Kosh Baruch said, Ma'isi Yodhi Tova B'yam, Temos Mashira. Mitzrayim are drowning. Tzelem Elokim. They're drowning. You're going to sing Shira. Inappropriate. Frank the Netziv. Wait. Chazal say, based on Pasuk Yecheskel, that how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy Sancheriv's army? HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed Sancheriv's army. The Malachim began to sing Shira. And they all died. When they heard the Malachim sing Shira, the heavens opened, they heard the Shira, and they died instantly. It's not something that a person in this world can live hearing the Malachi Ashrei. So what's Pshat? Why were they singing Shira then? So he touches it up. He quotes the name of his Rebbe. Bikshu, Malachi, Lata Shira, they saw the Mitzrayim running after Klai Yisrael, and they wanted to sing Shira to destroy the Mitzrayim. They wanted to sing Shira to destroy, they should die when they hear Ashira. Save Klal Yisrael. My Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Maisa Yodhi Tovu B'Yam. Mitzrayim put into the Yam Yiddish Akinda. Maisa Yodhi Tovu B'Yam Klal Yisrael. They put him into the Yam. And you want to sing Shira? No. Midah Keneged Midah. They're going to go into the water. They read something in the Torah. We all know it. But there's a depth to it. There's something more. We're part of Klal Yisrael. There's an understanding of the depth of Klal Yisrael. Because Baruch Hu, he takes care of Klal Yisrael. But we have to understand everything. Everything has happened in Rosh Hashanah. Standing here of Yom HaDin. Erev Yom HaDin. Ikva said the Mashicha, Chaim said 2.5 years ago, he's not around the corner. Hu Kfar Al HaRechov. He's on the block. And I, Ani HaKatan, can't believe with Reb Chaim and Shemayim, and the schusim of everything he did, and I don't mean all the schus HaTorah. I'm talking about the schus that he held up Klal Yisrael. People don't know what he did for every man, woman, and child around the world. Just the fact they can get into Reb Chaim and get a bracha. I had a chat, I don't want to say that, but a chat with his grandson, and every Thursday morning, so we used to go to Bnei Brak. So people gave me names, Kibbe Chaim, Kibbe Shidduch, children, health, refuah. I used to go with list. It wasn't Teshi Yasa. It was, I'd go sometimes, it was impossible. So I made up with the grandson. His job Thursday morning, that was his job. Thursday morning, to get up with Chaim, get out of bed. He would say, Birchas HaShachar, and Chaim would say Birchas out loud, and he would answer Amen. Help put on tallis and tefillin, and he would go to daven. So I had a made up with him that went on for quite a while. At that certain time, he would cling me up. I would hear Reb Chaim say the Birchas HaShachar. Reb Chaim held I was a tremendous mamasugel for brachas, the time of Birchas HaShachar. And then I would give the name, this one. I did give 20. He goes, that needs a shit. I'm going to have an operation today. So, bro, and I would call up a woman who's going through chemotherapy, going through an incredible painful surgery that day. I said, Reb Chaim, I heard him say it's going to be good. He gave you a bracha. She went in there flying into the operating room. Just one person. He uplifted Klai in so many ways. I can't believe in Shemayim. He's not pushing the Shiach a little closer, not just on the Rechol, but he's on this side of the street already. Incredible, painful world. So many terrible things going on. This is the Baruch Hashem, a place sitting and learning Torah. What a beautiful yeshiva. My father, Avi Murray, Zuchana Levracha, the Palga mentioned, my father used to come to Miami for a week's vacation with my mother. The Seder, the Baal L'chaim, the Seder was, my mother would go shopping, and my father would come to Davin Yeshiva in the morning, have a luxurious breakfast with the Rebbeim. He would then learn the Beis Medrash morning Seder. He would sit and learn, whoever would learn with him. And then at the minute, he would go home. I would tell him, you don't have to come to Miami for that. But he told me when he walked into Yeshiva and he saw the Talmidim that grew up with him, that he spent so many years with, it uplifted him. He came back flying. Never once did he come back with a tan, but always on fire what he saw in the yeshiva here. And I just think the little guy in Aiden, my father has that, Balakayim, his grandson, is one of the star Rebbeim. I just walk in, I said, my son, Abishtar, maybe because that's his payback for spending his vacations in the Beis Medrash. Because I'll say, he, Kadosh Baruch Hu, said in the world, after 6 days came Shabbos, enough, creation is completed. You should say to the end of my tzaros, what's the hemshech hadvarim? What's the connection? Rabbi Yaakov once explained, hemshech is that, what is the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu stopped? Why did he stop after 6 days? What did he see? He saw that there's enough things in the world that will remind everybody that there's a Bar Yoylem in the world. There are enough simanim in the world with everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that people will be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sense His presence. Yom HaTzaras Sayyidai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Tzaras HaKai, so they should sense His presence. They should understand it comes from Him. That's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all Nigzar and Rosh Hashanah. It's all Nigzar. And if Klai Yisrael sees that, then Yom HaTzaras Sayyidai. Hashem said, I don't need tzaros. I don't have to give tzaros anymore. I give tzaros to wake Klal Yisrael up, but if they get it, she omele olam adai yom la tzaros adai. Mishloka be Hashem, give Shefa HaBrocha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that my voice somewhat made it, despite my wife saying it won't happen. If a chizuk is something that's makatrig, but after mechazik, I'm getting chizuk just being in this room. Well, Bnei Torah here. Hashem should be Taka this year. Should be Tikla Shana Kilosel, Tikla Shana Bechosel, that everyone should be able to grow in Torah and Yerush Shemayim. And if we recognize that Rosh Hashanah is where everything starts and ends, then we'll be Zeichet to the level of Yerush Shemayim, as the Chazon says, we can reach in this generation. And with that, B'skos Baruch Hashem, Mashiach won't just be Al Rechov. Baruch Hashem will all be together on the Rechov. Walking by the regal, Yerushalayim Rakodesh, Vinyas Beis Hamikdash, may have remained on that.